Governor Herbert have to hide on the Amazon deal? This is Jim DeBacchus on the left.
It's inauguration week back in D.C., and we are sure to get one thing, change. This is Representative McKay on the right.
$7 million for the Simpson Avenue shelter site. Ouch. Natalie Gochner in the political center. This is both sides of the aisle. But first, this news. I'm Natalie Gochner. This is both sides of the aisle. I represent the political center, and I have on the political right, Representative Dan McKay.
Good morning. Sorry, Jim's over there unwrapping a candy bar. So, oh, he's bear's earing himself.
And on the political left, Senator Jim DeBacchus.
Good morning, hi, everybody. Jim. This is going to be a good one today.
I walked into the studio with Jim this morning, and he was on the phone, and he was laughing, and he sounded like, you know, let's say a little video you'd see on YouTube of someone laughing, and everyone starts laughing. He was just giggling, and it just made me want to be around you, Jim.
You know, I spend most of my time, if you don't know me on the radio, laughing and having fun. It's just when I get on the radio and I get next to McKay that I, you know, I just tense up and I, you know, I grip my teeth.
You're welcome. Tell Stephen, I apologize for the minutes I've taken off your life.
In our political world, it's inauguration week. Are either of you two headed to the national inaugural?
Oh. I did get an invite.
There's a lot of Utahns going.
I did get an invite. I did get tickets offered, but I can't.
It's good.
I feel badly because this is one that I think will be really interesting to
Utah will be well represented, apparently.
You know, and they make monuments, right? And they put inaugural speeches up on these monuments about various presidents or whatever. Trump is going to be interesting because I've never seen him do a prepared speech. So, you know, will they use the three dots where they're just trying to connect thoughts together? It's really good.
Yeah.
Look, I really am excited because I think he's just going to say something, and I want to be there when he's saying it, but I can't be there.
Jim?
That was a long
one. I understand President Trump has been is not rehearsing his inaugural speech yet because he's waiting for the Russian translation to be finished.
Very good. Very good.
Okay.
Mormon Tab sings. The piano guys are playing. Jim, are you liking the way this is playing out in any way, shape, or form?
No.
Okay. Dan, are you liking the way it's playing out in any way, shape, or form?
Yes.
Okay. This is both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, Trump getting in there as a non-political elite. He's not an insider. In fact, he's made a case of being an outsider. And he is doing and saying things that are, there is no question, we're going to walk away 4 years from now. Things are going to change.
Americans voted for change. They're going to get it.
They're going to get change. Yeah. That is the one thing that's clear.
You know, the one.
Last time they voted for just hope and change, we got high on hope, low on change. This time they got no hope and all change.
Well said.
The interesting issue where it's going to play out is I think, in Obamacare. Because you have the president-elect saying at least a couple of times, nobody's going to lose their health care. He's making promises. And then you have the little Republican minions cleaning up behind him saying, no, that's not exactly it. Yeah, people will lose their health care. And we're just going to have access to everybody if they have, you know, $2,000 a month. And Trump is – how is this going to play out? Is Trump going to back down and hurt his people in Kentucky and hurt his people all over the country that are going to lose health care? Or somehow is the Congress going to back down and allow a broader expansion of Obamacare?
He says whatever he wants to say, Jim.
Whenever
it doesn't
he does.
Matter if it's true or not.
So
he'll say what the people in Pennsylvania want to hear when he's in front of them, and then in another situation he'll be totally
different.
So, Jim,
will it blow your mind if, you know, Trump today said, or not today, a couple days ago, he said there will be coverage for everyone.
That's what he
said.
Coverage
for everyone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Medicare for all.
Will it blow your mind if Trump comes up with universal health care and goes that route and blows everybody out, and the Republicans win that issue? I'm not saying I'm for it. I'm just saying, will it blow your mind? And as a result of blowing your mind, will Democrat ever be elected to the White House again?
I care a lot more about having things go well than I do about winning the White House. And if he were actually able to sit down, he's too little attention span to actually understand the intricacies of healthcare. But if he got people and they did away with the problems, and there are problems from Obamacare, and he actually sat down and we enshrined this, it would be a great achievement, to which I would say thank you, President Trump.
Yeah. Hey, lots of Utahns.
I don't think he's going to do it, by the way. Sorry.
In addition to going to the inaugural, we have Utahns still in consideration to be in some pretty important positions. Rob Porter, he's more of a Massachusetts guy, but he was Senator Hatch's chief of staff.
That's a big time.
He's the
deal.
White House secretary. Is that what that's called?
Yeah, yeah, the White House secretary.
Big deal.
That is a big deal for Rob.
The rumor on the street still is that our Speaker of the House, Greg Hughes, is in the running for a very senior transit position at the Transportation Department.
There's that, too.
He's going to be punching things in the D.C. Metro?
Here's my call.
Yeah, are you going to make a prediction?
You know, Greg, this is a real, I mean, you were buds.
If I was to guess, and I have not asked him about this issue specifically because I don't want to know, and I think at the end of the
day,
you sound
like
Greg
a politician.
The right
there.
I don't want to know.
What are you talking about?
I don't want to know.
You're closing your ears, as Greg's saying, "Hey, buddy, what do you think?"
No, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, when you're you know, something's going wrong in your life or something's going right in your life, it's all anybody wants to talk about when it's a very public thing. So I try personally when I'm talking to a friend. I try and talk about things that everybody else isn't thinking about and get their mind off of that. So that's my thought.
Yeah.
But Greg, I think they will try and find something that gets him interested. I just don't think he'll do it. That's just my take.
See, and I think he should do it because, you know, he's relevant in this state, but over time that relevancy goes away because he can't be Speaker of the House forever. And
but he's fine with that. And I think if you knew
but
Greg,
he can go make a difference for rapid transit.
He
in our
still
country.
Can. You're right. But I still think he could do that as an advocate, you know, as an adjunct advocate or something on the outside. But I think if you knew Greg, knew how much he loved Utah, and knew how much he honestly is weighing the balance to his
bring
family.
Bring up the violins, everybody.
I don't think
that's why I'm saying
I don't think he does it.
Hey, so we got Representative Chris Stewart.
Killing me, small.
You know, maybe picked to lead the U.S. Air Force. So Congressman Stewart. We have Sean Reyes being considered for the Federal Trade Commission. I would love all of these to happen. I think it's very good for our state and great for
our
country.
What is his name? What is that congressman that represents all of Salt Lake City that no one in Salt Lake City has ever seen? What's his name again?
Chris Stewart.
The guy who has never been anywhere near an issue that one-third of his constituents are passionate about. That guy, if he can get any job in Washington, I'm saying amen. Goodbye. Good luck, Chris Stewart. Go there. Sean Reyes is the biggest disappointment I've ever seen in political life. There's a lot of people that are true believers or lazy or things like that. Reyes is smart, and he does things just for political calculation that do damage to the state and to people. I don't like him. I would just as soon see him in Washington screwing things up at the Federal Trade Commission.
I don't know if you want to add anything there, Dan.
No, I don't have any strong feelings.
Okay.
I think Representative or Congressman Stewart would do a phenomenal job there. I don't know how Attorney General Reyes would do at the FTC level. He's done a decent job, I think, of cleaning up the AG's office and helping restore some confidence there. But FTC is that's a big deal.
I think a lot of people think he wants to be governor and that he'll do whatever positions him better for that.
Or U.S. Senator, I heard, too.
Could be that. Hey, one more personnel thing. It's not in Washington, but Mayor Ben McAdams, Salt Lake County, tapped Aaron Litvak to be the deputy mayor there. Erin is an incredibly competent woman, does great things, married to another fine Litvak in the city administration.
I was going to say, how does that marriage handle a county mayor and a city mayor who don't
that's
like each other?
Great question.
And, you know, that's got to be some interesting conversations at home.
The therapist, probably. But before we leave this topic,
yes,
something significant happened, and it went under the radar. Gail Miller, the epitome of the Republican semi-moderate establishment, came out this week and said Orrin Hatch ought to run. And clearly that is part of a very orchestrated campaign. I expect that establishment part of the Republican Party to come out and say, Orrin, you have to run. It'll be interesting if the other part, because remember, he swore he wouldn't run again last time. It'll be interesting to see. My guess is that part of the Republican Party will prevail the way when they finally jumped in with Mike Lee. That was the end of it. There was no challenge. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Real interesting. In our next segment, we're going to talk about the audit of the Unified Fire Authority. I'm Natalie Gochner. Stay tuned.
This is Dan McKay on the right.
This is Jim DeBacchus, proudly on the left.
Natalie Gochner in the Political Center. And Jim, we really don't care about the proudly part. It shows. You wear it all over. Hey, I want to go into some issues local, but let's do one more Washington, D.C. thing and talk about our representative, Jason Chaffetz, threatening to investigate a federal ethics official for his ethics.
Maybe the biggest goofball ever to represent Utah in Congress.
Right,
and I include the congressman that got picked up on Second South many years ago.
Look, Alan Howe.
Alan Howe
would be the name there.
Oh, wow.
So
nice. Good flashback.
Jason, there's an independent office of ethics whose job it is to look at the ethics of public officials. This guy was doing his job and said, this isn't enough. That turning things over to your kid doesn't meet it. And Jason now is calling this guy before his committee to embarrass and humiliate and to go after him. And this is after Jason decided, you know what? We may still go after Hillary Clinton and Benghazi, but we're not going to ask any questions about President Trump and his various scandals one way or another. This guy has got to go.
Yeah. Dan, do you want to respond on the right?
Oh, I love Jason Chaffetz. I do. You know, you can
he's good at what he does.
Yeah. As far as doofus or, you know, things. Jim, I'm going to give you a pass because you're just misguided at times. I look at what Congressman Chaffetz has run on his platform that he's run on. And he is doing exactly what his 70% vote total told him to do. And which is hold government accountable, do those kinds of things, and not waste time. But I look at the Trump allegations, and everybody that's pleading for it is people that, you know, that just lost the presidential election. And I'm sorry, it's just bad grapes, because there's nothing. Basically, you're saying a U.S. president from now on needs to be a former either A, government employee, or B, foundationally rich, and as a result has no other working conflicts or anything else.
Yeah. Jim, I want you to weigh in, but as you do that, I just say I will be so frustrated if we go through 4 years of a Trump presidency without Jason Chaffetz being willing to look at some of the improprieties and things that are very evident to me. You go.
Okay, really quickly, there is a serious question. Is the president of the United States being blackmailed by Vladimir Putin? Now, maybe it isn't true. But you can make a credible case that he is. And that's something that the Congress of the United States is the only group capable of looking into. And they must step up to the table. And Jason needs to not have a 34th investigation of Benghazi, as he is saying, mm-hmm. and somebody with credibility, yeah. and somebody with honesty, and somebody with valor, and somebody with courage needs to find out if these sensational reports are true or not true, because normally you'd say, oh, that's so crazy. But there's enough evidence that we need to know for sure.
I'm someone who would say I'm willing to let Benghazi go away. Hillary Clinton's gone. I'm willing to let Benghazi go away, and I want to understand what's going on now.
Yeah.
So, well, okay, let's go local. Big news this week.
I had a lot to say there, didn't I?
Yeah, well, big news this week.
I thought it was your wisest comment.
This is the kind of news I don't like to read about. But we have our Utah State Auditor, John Dougal, has done an audit of the Unified Fire Authority Chief, Michael Jensen, and his former deputy, Gaylord Scott. And, you know, the initial news reports, there's a lot still to come out here. But at least what Mr. Dougal's representing is that he's asked that there be a criminal investigation. I hate this stuff, Dan.
Oh, I don't like it either. It's just, again, everyone has to be aware constantly, right? So I know that the Dems and Jim are probably going to complain about Mike Jensen's role at the Salt Lake County Council, right? Mm-hmm. He happens to be my councilman, so right. You know, I'm actually
someone
a
who has a reputation that's far larger than being fire chief and even being a county councilman.
Yeah.
He was considered for lieutenant governor. I mean, he just
Mike
Jensen's got
well
a lot
thought of. And so, you know, for this kind of thing to sully his reputation, but it does highlight the need for constant supervision in these special districts. I mean,
what
people.
Does that mean, special district?
So, yes, a special district is you get a bunch of municipalities that get together and they want to have a shared service. So what they do is they come up with a special district and they have a governing body that's overlooking this special district. And that governing body tends to be a sampling of the members of the city councils that want to be, you know, they have these districts. And the problem is when you let that kind of control and only one city council person instead of the whole council is looking at it, so it doesn't directly impact all their budgets, hard to cobble together enough votes to actually make a difference or really hold somebody accountable. So
you lose track of a lot of checks and balances.
You lose track. That's right. That's a good way of saying
it. What happens, and we've just seen over time when you don't have checks and balances, some tricky things can happen. I hope we hear some more that, you know.
I asked the auditor, and, you know, they asked him in the newspaper articles of the Des News, well, is this the worst, you know, is this just the worst we've ever seen? And the auditor said, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. Which, to me, highlighted, I mean, we had an audit last year of a lady that was working in the communication services up on the Hill.
Right.
And, you know, she had almost $1 million that she made disappear.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is just the kind of stuff that every once in a while you look at.
Jim, what's your read on this? I mean, will Democrats jump on this? Will they?
Let's just step aside
take the
from
party
that.
Stuff
I'm sure
out.
They will. And they'll be, yeah. But it's, again, if you're a publicly elected official, particularly, I mean, there's state employees as well, but employees are employees. If you're a publicly elected official, don't get close to the border of stealing. Just stay so far away. It's such a privilege. It's such an honor. It's such a responsibility. How much money would it take to just soil everything you're doing? Just walk away.
Yeah.
I hate this.
I do too. Well, not to make it any easier, but then still talking about money, we had the revelations in the past week about the $7 million for the Simpson Avenue shelter site in eastern Salt Lake City. Apparently, the mayor and city council representatives did not know about the price tag.
How does this happen?
That seems pretty. It just.
How?
Yeah, it just. I mean, it just. Is a way too far out there for me, because that's a big expenditure on a very public issue, and I'm trying to think, how does a government employee, bureaucrat, whatever you want to call them,
have
the authority to spend $7 million?
We're all totally surprised, by the way, and I'm going to just jump it, give Jim a hard time. We're all totally surprised that Democrats forgot to ask the price tag. We're totally shocked. Because, you know, nobody ever wants to pay for things. They just want to propose things that the government ought to be solving.
I'm pretty sure.
And it always tends to be my
all
job
of the
that
city
says,
council are Democrats. But
no, but it's no, always it's one. Always my job that it's always the Republicans' job to say, that's cool. Well, how much do we have? Do we have enough to pay for it? Those are key Republican questions.
Look, I got nothing on this.
Dang it.
Especially when you look at the appraised value. And the tax value, which was, what, 2.5, something like mm-hmm. that?
Yeah.
So some alarm should have gone off somewhere. I mean, if we were running things, Dan's business is real estate, and somebody came and said, okay, we're thinking about spending $7 million for this property, the first question you'd ask is, what's the appraisal say? You know, what's the tax on it, the tax appraisal, where are we on it? Mm-hmm. And then you would really start boring in if you're going to pay $7 million for something that was 2.5. Not this. I mean, there are times maybe you do that.
Yeah, there's special purpose, you know. You've got this is the only place it can go, right? Or where it can be.
You've
I
got everything else, and
price.
You need that, or
yeah.
But it seems impossible.
Okay, Dan and Jim, I'm going to just break with all this tough news, and I'm going to just bring up something that I'm really excited about. It's January. All the end of year economic data comes out. In the last week, new information released about the Utah economy, where it's at. So Utah's fastest growing state, low unemployment rate, jobs growing, people are migrating here, wages are on the rise. This is a very prosperous time in our state, and it has continued for multiple years at this point. So that there's some good news out there too.
Yeah, and we've got what record number of quarters of growth.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah, we're doing, yeah. I don't know if we're at a record, but we're doing really well far as that's concerned.
So I have only one thing to say without a touch of sarcasm.
Something's going to come up.
Thanks, Obama.
Oh, thanks, Obama.
Yeah, because we all know the president controls the economy. It has nothing to do.
And I'm making
the
case locally. But
or the governor.
So, I've been doing this kind of thing since 1985. Will date me. But I've watched Utah County for many, many years. And so you get to a year, 2016, 2017, and I'm looking at the data. But there was so much good news. I mean, tourism was good. Manufacturing was good. Financial services good. A lot of tech good. I think this is a great time to be in public office,
Can I make can I throw a little damper on that?
Please. There is a damper.
If Governor Herbert says the idea behind growing the economy is so we can pay for education, and when you look, we are at an epic. An economy doesn't get better. It is there. The growth, everything is happening, and we're still 50th in funding, and there's no possibility to close the gap even with 49. So if we're at the best of times, if we're it's as good as it gets, and we're still 50th, what does that say about our ability to ever crawl off of being the bottom of the bottom?
So you guys will start the legislative session next week, and you will start it in a period of prosperity and arguably have the best chance you're going to get for many years to make some differences. And I only say that because, we're 7 years into this expansion. A downturn will come.
Yeah.
There will be a correction. There'll be some hubris and some, an imbalance. Interest rates going up, whatever. And there's these underbellies of our prosperity. You couldn't see the Wasatch Mountains today. The air quality was so bad. We have a shrinking middle class in Utah. And we have the education issues that you've referenced, Jim, and then we have tremendous infrastructure needs. So, 2017 session, what up, guys?
Golly, this year will be, I think this will be actually an explosive year. I've started to hear through, I don't know, explosive.
With Hughes' speaker.
You heard the speaker talk about.
With an initiative petition to go raise taxes.
You heard Hughes, I think he was said it in Utah policy or one of those things. He said that this session could be crazy, was the term.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know why? It's because there's a whole bunch of bills out there that people are working on, and nobody hears about all of them, right? It's, there's some just show up as a surprise, but he hears about most of them. And I'm sure there's some interesting things in the works that even lowly old me will be caught off guard by.
Jim, I'll be excited to watch what you come up with this session if you get some bills passed.
That was terrible, Natalie.
Did I set him up?
I'm speechless. That's it. I mean, I've been smacked. I'm used to being smacked by the right, but now the center is just clubbing me.
Hey, let's go to gripes. Jim, you can gripe about me if you want.
Here it is. Look, it gets back to this issue of accountability and smugness. That so many years of one-party rule. Governor Herbert and the State Tax Commission decided on the Amazon deal, we're going to tell you that we made a deal and Amazon is going to pay their sales tax. Rah, rah, what a good job we've done. But there was another shoe to drop. As Amazon builds on the west side of Salt Lake, the governor has offered them huge, apparently, incentives. But guess what? They have gone to fight and refused to say, even through grandma, what those things are. And they've sheltered it by saying it's all part of the tax commission. The tax commission didn't mind opening its mouth when it came to
good news.
All hail to Gary Herbert. Yeah. But when it came on the other foot, it is suddenly, that's the secret. We're not talking about that. That is smugness.
Dan, why can't we get transparency on this?
Oh, because there isn't a bill until now. Mm-hmm. There's always something comes up in a
temper.
Yeah, it hasn't happened
yet.
Well,
then it's okay.
But if you think
it's
about it.
It's just a plan, Jim.
Here's the thing.
If it hasn't happened, it's just an idea.
The problem with it is if you disclose the information, you're disclosing a individual taxpayer's information. Yeah. And just like none of us would want our tax records out there for
everybody
to
see. Apparently Donald Trump doesn't.
Including Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Since nobody wants that out there, that there's been hesitancy, but now the bill that I actually am carrying this legislative session says, look, if you're taking any kind of incentive from the state, you're disclosing your taxes.
You waive your secrecy.
You waive it.
Yeah.
You waive it.
You want the dough from the taxpayers, or you want secrecy? You
Dan, decide. Any other gripe you want to share? Or?
No, five okay. days to the session. I used to really, really, you know, I used to get geared up for it, and now there's just a little trepidation.
I want to encourage our listening audience to get excited, because we'll be recording it up on Capitol Hill, and we will be right close to the chambers giving you insight, commentary.
In a public room, you guys come watch the show being taped. Should be exciting.
Hey, I do have a little gripe, and I'll just say this. I saw that in 2016, Utah road fatalities hit a 10-year high. I thought that was a low point, and we got to do better on Utah roads. Too many people are dying out there.
Part of it because the legislature increased the speed limit. And that was the first full year of all of that.
Because they outlawed texting and driving, so people went from texting up here to texting down below the steering wheel.
Ooh. Wow, is that
just
true?
Stop texting. That would be the way to go. Yeah. You've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. Senator Jim DeBacchus and Representative Dan McKay are representing the spectrums. I'm in the middle, and our program is produced by Ross Chambliss. Thank you for listening.